Do you know who was named the best putting mat in 2022 by My Golf Spy? It was the mats from Birdie Ball. It'll help you sink more putts and make more birdies with a Birdie Ball putting green, all in the comfort of your own home. Check out Birdie Ball online at birdieball.com. Birdie Ball is here to make golf more fun and accessible. Find out more at birdieball.com.
It's time for Grilling at the Green. Join Jeff Tracy as he explores the golfing lifestyle and tries to keep it in the short grass for the hackers, new sweepers, and turf spankers. Here's Jeff.
Just open up the door and let's say good times in. Tomorrow's gonna be better than today.
Hey everybody, welcome to Grilling at the Green here in Portland on AM 860 and in Seattle and stations across the country, and also the Golf News Network on iHeart. How's your game? I hope you're having a good week in the golf world. This segment of Grilling at the Green is brought to you by Painted Hills Natural Beef, beef the way nature intended, and also the Oregon Crab Commission from sea to plate. If you've never had any of the Dungeness crab that we have out here in the Pacific Northwest, I'll tell you, you're really missing something. So check it out. Go to Oregon Crab Commission and see where you can find some crab in an area next and near you. Well, our guest today is Ryan McCray. He's president of Lynx and Leisure Clothing out of Southwestern Washington. It's a new company. It's had a little history getting started, and Ryan is a very tenacious guy, and he's made it happen. And I met him at the Portland Golf Show. Just by chance, but he's got a very interesting story. Ryan, welcome.
Thank you so much, Jeff. It's nice to be with you.
It's nice to be with you. I got to tell you, I went to your website and I looked at the different shirts and stuff you have there. I like them. They're fun. They're a lot of fun. But coming from a family that had a retail store for years, I know the retail business, the wholesale business, the manufacturing business can all be very trying. So would you share with us how you got started in this and what made you do it?
That's a long one, Jeff, but I'll try my best. You know, the whole story of vintage golf tees goes back about 25 years, actually, when I first had the idea. I was in New York working at a club out there, and just had an idea that there should be a golf company that just focused on, you know, high-end vintage cool golf t-shirts. And at the time, there was nothing like it. It took a number of years to give it my first attempt. So now we're looking about the 2005-2006 era. Got some shirts made up, Swinger, Foreplay, just kind of some tongue-in-cheek type stuff. But the golf industry wasn't really ready for golf t-shirts at the time. Went back to working the green grass stuff after, you know, essentially falling flat on my face with that first attempt. And a number of years go by, and some of the other larger companies had started to sell golf t-shirts, and they kind of open that door that I was just banging on for so many years. And I thought I'd give it another shot. I thought I still had something to offer the industry. So I moved back here to the Northwest a number of years ago, and have been all in ever since. So it's been a battle, but it's been a long one as well.
You were originally from out here?
Originally from Vancouver, Washington. Yes.
Good. Good for you. Like I said in kind of the opening there, that it is tough. I mean, if nobody's been in the retail business, that's one thing to find out how tough it is. But if you're starting a business that ultimately ends up on the consumer shelf, that's even harder. You've got to bang on a lot of doors, and a lot of them don't even open up enough for you to say hello. They just close on you. So how much determination has it taken you to get this far? I mean, it's got to be a huge amount.
Yeah, yes, I would say that's true. It definitely hasn't been easy. You look for kind of little wins here and there, you know, whether it's a small driving range shop trying your stuff out, and then you get the golf course here and there, maybe you get a tournament. But definitely, it's definitely very challenging. It's the space, the golf industry apparel space is pretty saturated, and we see new companies popping up seemingly every day. But it's, I think what keeps me going more than anything is that I love cool vintage golf t-shirts. That's really the number one. So it's not so much about, you know, doing millions in sales, however that would be nice, but it's more about creating a cool t-shirt that will change somebody's day, maybe, change the perception of somebody, somebody's perception about the game that may see this t-shirt out there in the wild. So more than anything, Jeff, I'm just trying to showcase the game in a different light, but an accurate light as well. So that's really what it comes down to for me. It's not about the money. It's really just about creating a good golf visual for people, telling a story out there in the streets as opposed to just the green grass. Excuse me. And so that's just kind of what keeps me going. But back to your point, as far as how tough retail is, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. I'll say that.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Your sayings, they're fun things. Like right behind you, you've got one from the original Swinger Society. You come up with all those, or do you have a group of friends that you bounce stuff off of, or how do you know? Usually people can come up with one or two good fun things to say when they're doing something like this, and then after that it can be a struggle to make it so it meets all the criteria. It's catchy, it's fun, it's tongue-in-cheek, it's not too wordy so that you have to have a dictionary to read it, you know, that type of thing. How do you go through that process?
That's a good question. I will say, first part of it is I come up with most of the sayings or slogans myself. A lot of the times it's a spin off of something else. You'll find a lot of music type references in both the verbiage and design that I use. I definitely am not short on friends' suggestions as far as things I should do. Some of the times they make the final cuts, sometimes they don't. But, you know, that's one of the things too, that with as much as I put into these t-shirts, I don't want to jinx myself, but it's almost like I have a bottomless well. You know, and it's they come to me on the daily. Now, by the time I actually get them designed and in production, you know, that sometimes it happens really quick. Sometimes it takes I may be kicking around an idea for a year or two before I throw it on a shirt. But they really do kind of come to me daily. And I do have kind of a checkpoint as far as, or I should say a checklist, as far as, you know, I want the message to be this, I want it to be understood by this, and I want it to capture this. So, yeah, that's a good question, Jeff. It's a tough one to answer, but I come up with the majority of it on my own. You know, again, not taking away any suggestions that other people have made that have been utilized, but I got countless more for the future, and I'm looking forward to bringing those to print as well.
Yeah, I've got a lot of friends that always have a lot of suggestions. Not so much on the
implementation.
Implementation. No, sorry.
A lot of the times that's left out, I find.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you know what you should do? You should do this, and then they go away, and you're like, well, there may be some merit to that, but tell me more. And they don't have more; they just have the slug line or something, and then off you go.
Yep,
that's really tough. Hey, we're gonna take a break. We're gonna be back with Ryan McCray from Links and Leisure. Like I said at the top of the show, I met Ryan at the Portland Golf Show. Just kind of walked into each other and heard his story a little bit there and invited him on the show. And I think this is a good show for people that have a lot of ideas, especially in the golf world, but how they get them implemented and out there. Now that's a different story. So Ryan and I will be back in just a minute. Please stay with us. Hey everybody, JT here. You know, every week on Grilling at the Green, we bring you a travel tip, and that is brought to you by the Westin Dealerships. I've known those guys since I was a kid, and they have one way of doing business. It's called the Westin Way. It's family oriented, and there's no better people to deal with. Check out Westin Kia on Southeast Stark in Gresham, Oregon. Welcome back to Grilling at the Green. I'm JT. You can find us on all the social media platforms. If it's not under the name of the show, it's under my name, because we have some kind of duplicate stuff out there just because people have a tough time, I think, navigating that. Or you can, excuse me. It's spring, Ryan. It's my allergies. I'm 60 years old and I still got allergies. That bugs the hell out of me. Anyway, you can email us at just info@grillingatthegreen.com. You can go to the website and send us a message. You can find us, like I said, on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. So we're talking with Ryan McCray today from Links and Leisure. And Ryan, this is the part of the show where you've been around. You've worked in the golf industry a while. And I always ask our guests to do a golf trip travel tip. And a lot of them come up with stuff like, you know, make sure your clubs are secure or whatever like that. But if you've traveled back and forth across the country and maybe across the pond, I don't know, we'll probably find out here. What would be your travel tip for people?
Oh, I definitely haven't made it across the pond yet. I hope to someday, but I have made my way around the country pretty good. You know, there's probably a lot of things that you could point to. But I would say if you're going to play golf on travel to play golf, I really think it would come down to the company that you're out there with. I think everybody's going to have a different, you know, use this sort of travel bag or pack your clubs this way or play this kind of golf course or, you know, go here this time to this location at this part of the year. But, you know, I'm really just a believer of golf kind of comes down to your company, especially if you're, you know, if you're going with the boys, you know, that's kind of the secret for me, you know, whether it's, you know, hate to use the word dog track, but I think it's something that Everybody would understand. But, you know, whether you're playing a dog track or a high-end resort or private golf course, I would prefer good company over, you know, the level of golf course it is. So I think if you're traveling, you know, just make it a point to travel or play with the people that you would most want to travel or play with. That would, you know, I don't know if that answers the question.
Well, Jeff, actually,
it does. That's what I would do.
Yeah, actually, it does. I've always thought it's better to go out and have fun, enjoy the day. Have a few laughs, especially laugh at yourself if you play at the level I do, which is hysterical sometimes, and do that than try to be too serious. There's a reason those guys and gals that play on those elite tours, the LPGA, the PGA, the Korn Ferry, Epson, all those, they got there because they play golf, you know, 8 hours a day, 6 days a week, practice in the rain and all that. And most of us don't want to do that. So I think your tip there is really good. Also, we'd like to thank Westin Kia in Gresham, Oregon, Oregon's number one Kia dealer, for supporting this show and especially the golf trip travel tips. You know, I should have written that. You talk about sayings and stuff for your shirts. I could have written that one a little easier instead of golf trip travel tips. I can't say that like three times very fast.
I'll get it on a shirt for you, Jeff, and we'll clean it up a little bit.
Okay, very good. Are these shirts made? I mean, the printing and stuff, are they done locally here in the Northwest, or where is it done at?
Yeah, so everything is from start to finish made in the USA. The shirts are made here in the USA, and then all the shirts are designed and hand printed here in Vancouver, Washington. So, yep, it is completely local.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. So, Ryan, when you've been out there pitching golf shops, and I don't know about you, but in my area where I live, which is south of Portland, a lot of the pro shops are getting a bit smaller. They're condensing on what they're keeping in the shop because the courses have found, especially the nicer ones, that they make more money on food and beverage. And little banquets and things like that. And also I think they've realized that they don't particularly want to compete with, you know, the big online Golf Galaxy, Dick's Sporting Goods, Carl's Golfland, those types of things. Cause those guys are, you know, they have storefronts, but they're a huge warehouse type thing where they can just ship out clubs and shoes and shirts and what have you. So given that, is it tough to get shelf space, as it were, in the pro shops?
It is. And to your point there, Jeff, that's exactly what's you know, these golf shops are going through. They're competing with the entire online e-commerce. So a lot of times it doesn't make sense for them to go real deep into product. Hard goods specifically, you'll see quite a bit of hard good inventory at your private clubs still, but your public golf courses, it's very hit or miss. What I've found with a new brand and being a t-shirt, number one, being a t-shirt, there's a lot of clubs and courses that are still hesitant to bring a t-shirt in. It blows my mind a little bit, but it blows my mind. But you know, I think a lot of the buyers and merchandisers are under have the thought that somebody's going to think they can play golf in this t-shirt if you sell it in the golf shop. And I don't think. Let me back up a little bit. That happens quite a bit. Okay. So the number one hesitancy that I get is the fact that it's a t-shirt. It is becoming more widely accepted as a product in the golf shop. And, you know, and Jeff, I would like to point out as well, you know, I don't sell t-shirts to try to change the expected attire of the game. I very much believe in that. And that's one of the fun things about the game is you dress up and you look good. A lot of times you'll dress nicer for golf than you will for work.
That's
true. I'm very much a fan of that, and so I'm not trying to change any of that. But you know, this the t-shirt is a product that, just as though if you're a Seahawks fan or a Blazer fan, you may wear a jersey or a t-shirt to the grocery store or just on your day to day. So that's what that's what the product is meant for. But then you couple that with, it's got a great price point. It's a great impulse buy for these golf shops to offer their members or customers. But there is some kind of, I don't want to say old school thinking, because I think that sounds too derogatory, but it is a product that's still very, the acceptance is not as high as I think it should be. But when we do get in the golf shops, they absolutely fly off of the shelves. But that original convincing is difficult, again, based on the acceptance of a t-shirt, whether or not the customer think it's acceptable to be worn on the golf course. I don't think there's many people that actually think that, but it is a perception of the merchandisers and buyers that are looking to take on the t-shirt line.
Absolutely. We're going to take another break. I'm going to be back with Ryan McCray from Links and Leisure. look at his website. We'll get to that here shortly, but we'll get to that and have some fun with this. You're listening to Grilling at the Green on the iHeart Radio Network.
Hey, everybody, it's JT. You know, I talk about Painted Hills all the time, and we always say beef the way nature intended, but it's more than that, because each bite of Painted Hills will make your taste buds explode, put a big, bright smile on your face, and whoever is at your dinner table will have a big, bright smile on their face, and you can thank me for that later. Just go to PaintedHillsBeef.com and find out more. You won't regret it.
Welcome back to Grilling at the Green. I'm JT, today with Ryan McCray. We'd like to again thank Painted Hills Natural Beef, beef the way nature intended. Speaking of websites, you can go to PaintedHillsBeef.com. You can order some of their stuff online there. And if you put in the code BBQ Nation, that's my other show, I think they give you a discount like 15%. And also Grilla Grills, the versatility of outdoor cooking with a complete line of gas, pellet, and charcoal grills. Go to GrillaGrills.com. We use those on the show, on the TV version of this. And Pig Powder, my radio wife, Leanne Whippen, that's her family's brand of rubs. So go to PigPowder.com. We're talking with Ryan McCray today from Links and Leisure. You know what you were talking about in the last segment, Ryan? You know, if you go to Yellowstone, if you go to the Jack Daniel's Barbecue Championship, if you go to the Kentucky Derby, they all have t-shirts. Now, nobody expects you to wear, especially like at the Derby, if you were a jockey, you're not going to wear that when you're riding the horse. You know, you're not going to ride those things, wear those shirts. They're fun. And you were kind of talking, you alluded to, but I'll say this, you know, golf sometimes has a stodgy image, old guys smoking cigars at the end of the day, drinking snifters of brandy saying, yes, Robert, you did this right. It's not that. It's a fun game. It's hard. It's hard as hell, but it's fun. And so why not have some fun and let people know you are a golfer with absolutely no future as a professional out there, you know, to do that. So I think that's something that through time, I think that will come.
I certainly hope so. And you touched on an interesting point there as well, in that I always kind of describe it as those looking in on the game from, we'll say, outside of the fence, so to speak, they have a certain perception of the game. And it most often doesn't align with actually what the game is. Now, historically, it has been more of an elitist type of a game. It is expensive. So it's only natural that, it's going to flourish within, the affluent community. That being said, though, the game itself is for everyone. What the game is, I struggle to find the word now, but it's very often the perception of the game and what the game actually is are not aligned.
Right.
And that's, and that's very much something that I'm trying to address with these t-shirts. So it's very much a goal. If somebody's wearing one of our house brand tees out in public and it portrays the game in X way, that somebody who sees it out there in public may have previously had a perception of the game that hopefully we can change a little bit and try to get them to maybe inquire about it. A perfect scenario is, well, they actually feel more comfortable and go give the game a try themselves. But yes, you're right. The game itself is not often as it is perceived, and that's very much what I'm trying to address. Excuse me.
Yeah, well, I think it would be, all people actually have to do is to watch on TV one of the PGA tournaments or the LPGA tournaments, you know, not a major, but just a regular, whatever's on the schedule that week. And if it's nice weather, don't look at the golfers, look at the crowd. And they're there in shorts and t-shirts, and sometimes, you know, they've got goofy hats on and they're supporting a particular player. It doesn't matter. But my point is, those are very casual, leisurely apparel and attitude of the folks that are there, because they're just there to enjoy it. So I think that sometimes people can't get beyond the players, and they need to look at the crowd, because the crowd is having a good time. The players are working. The crowd is having a good time. And I think if we can cross that bridge, then people would, you know, be more receptive to it, especially golf shots. Because good God, if you get online and you go to the USGA or any of those, they all have long sleeve t-shirts or, you know, Henleys or something, or short online to buy for an event. They're not all collared shirts that are required when you play. So, like I said, I think it's coming, but my advice to people would be to look at the crowd.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point there, Jeff. You know, it's there's so many types of people that play golf from every walks of life, and but they're able to connect on the game itself. You know, it's one of the few things in this world that we're all on the same side, you know? So I think the more people understand that, the easier it'll make, for people to actually give the game a shot. But it, like I said, it's, you know, we're all chasing par here. We're all competing against the golf course here. Now, sure, there's the scenarios where you're playing an event and you have some opponents or whatnot, but even in that scenario, you're still playing the golf course. So that's one thing that unites all players across all spectrums.
Well, I wanted to also jump in here, Ryan, with you're not just a t-shirt guy. You work in the golf industry. You've worked in pro shops. You've worked, you know, you're a assistant pro and those types of things. Would you share that with our audience, so they know that you're just not some guy that's standing on the corner with a t-shirt line hanging on a rack?
Well, I think golf pro flunky is the term you're looking for there, Jeff. That's probably the best way to describe it. But yeah, so outside of golf t-shirts, my entire working career has been in the industry in some capacity, whether it's a pro, an assistant pro, instruction, caddy. You know, I've kind of touched all the bases within the industry. But golf pro flunky is probably the umbrella term that I would use for that. Of course, had aspirations growing up to play competitively, but I learned early on that 74 wasn't going to be good enough to make a living at it. And to make matters worse, I just shot 81. So, you know,
it's, on the front nine or what?
yeah, I made it around all 18 for that 81. But, okay. You know, but I realized pretty early, as much as I love the game, you know, it wasn't going to be a career that I could make money doing, you know, other than the course management side of things. But yeah, so I had nearly 20 years in green grass operations of miscellaneous responsibilities, we'll say.
You know, it's interesting. I come from my background, and no need to tell the listeners, they've heard it enough, but was from a completely different sport. But that's how I made my living. Okay. What's interesting to me is that all of the people, they're churning out a lot of potential golf course superintendents, assistant pros, so on. I mean, it's an industry, and there's a lot of golf courses and there's a lot of clubs, and we do that in my other life, same thing. And then you always hear that people say, well, and you didn't say this, is why I bring it up. Well, you know, I was going through here, but when I got done, I really wasn't good enough to make it on the tour, so I thought I would get into broadcasting. It's kind of like, you know, being a jockey. Only so many people can make that height weight requirement, you know, and then even fewer have enough to actually get on a microphone and have good presence. And so when you're saying you know, flunky, I think of that as very well rounded. A friend of mine once called it very well seasoned, like that, because you you know, there's only so many head pro jobs. There's only so many assistant pro jobs out there. You know what I mean? There. And so I think you'd to be given kudos for creating this and saying, you know, I'm still in the golf world, but I see something different. That's actually kind of how I started my radio career, was I saw something different and did that along. You know, that was a long time ago, but I saw an opening and I went for it. So good for you, Ryan.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. You know, it's funny too, Jeff, just to touch on that real quick, as far as seeing an opening. I didn't know what else I was going to do. This is, you know, the game of golf and the golf industry, it's, you know, it's my passion. So I really never had a plan B. It was going to be somewhere within the industry. I felt like I could, you know, make the industry or add a positive, I should say, in whatever capacity or level. You know, that's debatable for sure. But I always wanted to contribute to the game. And, you know, and I'd like to think that most of the people that get into the industry are doing it for that reason. Yeah. But, you know, I'm sure that there may be some selfish reasons in there as well. But I think what initially drives all of the aspiring industry professionals to do it is to contribute to the game itself and to grow it, expand it, you know, change it, hopefully for the better. That's kind of where I'm coming from. And, you know, I'm still part of the industry. I love the industry. I got several friends that I went to college with that stayed with the green grass side, and, you know, they're head pros and instructors all over the country. Excuse me. And they're loving what they're doing as well. So, it's been fun for me to see them advance through the career, and we took different paths, but it's always fun when our paths cross each other again. So that's kind of why, you know, why I got into it, why I think the other guys have gotten into it, and hopefully they're, you know, kind of, you know, chasing that dream that they had as well.
Chasing the dream. We got to take another break before David yells at me. But we'll be right back with Ryan McCray from Links and Leisure here on Grilling at the Green. Stay with us.
Hey everybody, JT here. If you need something to practice with in the inclement weather, try Birdie Ball. Go to birdieball.com. Check out the actual Birdie Balls, their packages, their putting greens, which I happen to have a couple of those, and they work great. Birdieball.com.
Welcome back to Grilling at the Green. We're talking with Ryan McCray from Links and Leisure up in Vancouver, Washington today. We would like to thank Hammerstall Knives and Heritage Cookware. Ryan's looking at me like, why are you talking about all this food stuff? Well, we converted this show, some of the principal photography is done, into a TV show that is going to be on the Golf News Net television channels on several platforms. So, and they're linear TV. It's not just streaming stuff like on YouTube. No, this is actual golf channels. There's going to be multiple shows on these channels and you can watch it. So that's why, Ryan, I'm talking about this.
You're just making me hungry, Jeff. That's all. That's all you're doing there.
Anyway, we Hammerstall Knives and Heritage Cookware. We use them on the TV shows. I recommend them. You can go to Heritage Steel US and get your Hammerstall or your Heritage Cookware there. And so we're talking with Ryan McCray from Links and Leisure. What's been your biggest challenge besides we talked about it earlier, besides getting over the stodginess, logistically and supply chain wise, and that with big problems with that the last few years kind of touched everybody. How did that affect you, if at all?
Funny you should say that. Because actually, when others were being affected by the supply chain, it actually opened a lot of doors for Lynx and Leisure. Our model is set up as such that using products made here in the U.S., we were good, so to speak, throughout the supply chain problems that a lot of the other companies, they couldn't get product. And so a lot of golf courses turned to us because we were able to get product being sourced here in the U.S.
Sure.
So, you know, and I don't know if that's something that I thought through at the beginning as much as it was something that just coincidentally happened for us. But that actually opened up a lot of accounts for us when they couldn't get products from some of their other companies or providers, and they were left with no other choice. You know, so however it happens, Jeff, I'll take it.
Sure.
You know, even sure. if it's left for them to just because they have no other choice. But that actually worked out pretty well for us in that sense. But as far as the question of what's been the biggest challenge, the whole thing's a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the entire thing from, you know, convincing somebody to give you a shot. And then, you know, what we do with the country clubs, that's the majority of the time, that's custom design. So you go back and forth with customers and you put these designs together, and that's a process in itself. And then, okay, once you agree on a design, and then you got print, production, and fulfillment. So the entire process is definitely a challenge. But if I had to put my finger on one, I would say the challenge, I would say, is the personal challenge. You know, it's 7 days a week. It's nearly 24 hours a day. I say that, you know, with some exaggeration there, of course.
Sure.
But, you know, the relationships that you have with people on your personal relationships, I'd say that's been the biggest challenge, meaning there's not a whole lot of time left for personal relationships at the end of the day. And so that strains a lot of them, not in a some sort of,
yeah,
a mean sort of way, but it's emotionally exhausting, and you know, it beats me up, but it beats up those relationships I have as well. And that's the I'd say that's number one. And I don't know if that's, you know, maybe what you were asking or thinking there, but by far that's been the biggest challenge for me, you know, whether it's girlfriend relationships that fall apart because of it, or X or Y, but the relationships that you have is I've found to be the biggest challenge, and they always seem to be put on the back burner, and you can only take so much of that. They can only take so much of that. So I would say that's kind of the biggest challenge, of course.
You know, I'm going to leave us with this, and we'll pick this up in the after hour segment, Ryan, but what you touched on there, being in the media business, you know, I talk to people all the time, and then there's the sales aspect of it that we have to deal with. But I think overall, in general, I don't care what your business is, if you don't develop personal relationships, maybe not with the consumer itself, the ultimate consumer of your product, but the people that are going to carry your product or distribute your product or what have you, or support your product in some way. I see a lot of younger folks. I'm dating myself again here, so forgive me, but I see a lot of younger folks work in the media business, you know, and the golf business. They think everything is done online. You know, we'll send them an email, and if they don't, they move on. It's like, you know, this is a good company. We should try to develop a relationship with them. It'll last 10, 20 years or more if you do it the right way. Instead of just, here, you want to buy our stuff? Here's an email. Go to this link. I mean, we all get hundreds of those in our inbox every day. So I think in business, some of the old tried and true ways are the best. So I think that. Ryan, how can people find you? What's the website?
Linksandleisure.com. So that's linksandleisure.com. And or Ryan at linksandleisure.com.
Okay, very good. Ryan McCray, folks, from Links and Leisure. Ryan's going to stick around for after hours. He's not been put through that Torquemada horror chamber yet, but he soon will be. And we will be back next week. We've got some other cool people coming up. We've got Bob Robert from Squares Golf Shoes coming up, and we've got gosh, I forgot his name, Millington, who just bought the Ben Hogan Company to add to his golf brands group. So we've got those guys coming up in a couple of weeks, and we've got some more players coming up after that. So Ryan, thank you very much. Stick around for after hours, folks. We'll be back next week with another edition of Grilling at the Green. Go out there, play some golf, take care, and most of all, be kind.
Grilling at the Green is produced by JTSD Productions, LLC, in association with Salem Media Group, all rights reserved.